Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. If you're listening on this long weekend, and it specifically is August the 1st, then think about this. This is Food Day Canada. The founder of Food Day Canada, Anita Stewart, was on this show several years ago at the Shellfish Festival in Courtney Comox. And that's when I got a sense of how much she had accomplished in over 10 years of Food Day Canada. We're shopping, we're cooking, we're eating, we're honoring those who produce and prepare the foods across the nation. Everybody we might even take for granted. It's Food Day Canada. Basically, what we're saying is thank you. With our backyard barbecues, their picnics, your potlucks, patios, kitchen tables, everything, all of it, food trucks. And so the guests in this hour are Anita Stewart, the founder of Food Day Canada, Abul Adame, who came to the Okanagan and the Naramata Bench from Mexico, Jennifer Shell, who has just released her book, The BC Wine Lover's Cookbook, Recipes and Stories from Wineries Across British Columbia. It is a great read, and we have a lot to talk about. And we finish with Chef Ned Bell. He was a chef that Jason Priestley and I met in the Okanagan, and then he went one way, and we went the other. He bicycled across Canada in support of sustainable seafood. He ended up being the executive chef at the Four Seasons Hotel in Vancouver. But now he's come full circle, and he and his wife, Kate, are two of the owners of the historic Naramata Inn in the Okanagan. It's Food Day in Canada. Let's celebrate. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Right now, you can get a taste of Chenin heaven. Did you know that the Chenin Blanc vines at Road 13 on the Golden Mile are some of the oldest Chenin vines in North America? Do enjoy the fun of working your way through the 2016 Sparkling Chenin Blanc and the 2019 Chip Off the Old Block Chenin Blanc. Road13vineyards.com. Road 13, it's all about the dirt. Anita Stewart, the founder of Food Day Canada and the food laureate at Guelph University. I started with an idea of I wanted to find Ned Bell. That's how it all started, because Ned had kind of disappeared on me, great friend. He and Kate were investing in heart and soul in the refurbish and remix of the Naramata Inn, and they've opened the restaurant, they've opened the hotel, it's fantastic. And then I started to work backwards from then and realized that August the 1st was going to be the Food Day in Canada, and I had some homework to do. It included this call to you, so thank you for being there.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm glad you tracked him down.
Has it really been 10 years since you started this?
Well, it's been 10 years since we actually named it Food Day.
Okay.
We started in 2003 when it was when we were worried about the beef prices hitting the prairie so badly, and just said, go to your barbecues and grill Canadian beef. Send me your stories. And that was, it went viral. But really it became Food Day because it was so obvious that everywhere in Canada, there's, the harvest is in. And so it has been 10 years. And I started to engage chefs and restaurateurs at that time and the general public. And now it seems that the general public is catching up really well. And so this year, you know, our theme really is gratitude.
Yep.
Let's show our thanks to the farmers, the ranchers, the fishers, and the chefs of the country.
But we haven't seen a year like this, Anita. I mean, first of all, I must ask, because I should have asked off the top, are you safe? Are you well?
Yep.
Okay,
absolutely.
Good. Okay. You and I go down the same roads here, and the more you talk to chefs, staff, farmers, foragers, when you talk to them, you realize that everybody is affected. It's the restaurants are hurting. The farmers are trying to sell what they grow, of course. And we, the customer, are trying to figure out how we can help everybody.
Yes, that's right, exactly. So, I mean, the goal of Food Day really is to raise that awareness about how to promote Canadian-grown, Canadian-made food and drink with a spirit of pride, which is really, really important. One of the things that I think is really quite fun this year, last year we did it, but this year is even more so. We're shining a light on Canadian cuisine by illuminating structures across Canada. And in British Columbia, quite a number, actually. BC Place and the Vancouver Science Center, the Vancouver City Hall, the sales statue, which I love, in Kelowna, the celebration gates over in Victoria at the government or the legislature. So it's all that. That's a nice bonus. We're starting in Newfoundland by illuminating Government House, which is where Her Excellency actually resides, the Lieutenant Governor. So it's all the way across, including CNTR, Niagara Falls. It's quite fun.
I'm sure she'll be barbecuing on the front lawn. So I did.
I will be. I'm going to be barbecuing in the back lawn. I really can't go out. So my neighbors and I are going to do a selection, and I'm taking over my own Instagram account and showing the world what Food Day Canada looks like for Anita Stewart. it's going to be interesting.
She is the founder of Food Day Canada. Her name is Anita Stewart. She is also the food laureate at Guelph University. Shopping, cooking, eating, sharing, right?
Yep.
All day Saturday, August the 1st. Hashtag Food Day Canada, foodday canada.ca. I've talked to Ned Bell. I'm going to talk to Abul Adame just down the road from him on the Naramata Bench in a great restaurant called The Kitchen. He is French trained. He comes from Mexico City. I'm going to talk to Mark, one of your favorites, Mark Filoteau at Waterfront Wines Restaurant.
Yes.
I wouldn't go so far as to call him a brilliant chef.
But Mark is.
Yeah, he is. Okay, fine.
But he cooks with his heart and his head. He's a very kind person.
He's funny, too. And I love the fact that you mentioned Pilgrim on the website, the Pilgrim Restaurant, Galliano Island.
Yeah, there are some wonderful spots across the across British Columbia, across all of Canada.
I've got a couple.
I'll bet.
I love River Cafe and Dean House. You mentioned them both.
Yes.
Both the Sal Howell restaurants, and they really do. They do a full-on menu.
They walk the talk completely. Yeah. If there's an iconic restaurant, that would be one of them. We've got From Scratch a Mountain Kitchen, which is in, down in Fairmont Hot Springs. That's again British Columbia, and it's all good. I mean, it's really good. Even Banff Springs Hotel, by the way, is now I guess they're in Alberta officially.
Sure.
But they're going to be shining a light on Canadian cuisine by illuminating the hotel.
She is the founder of Food Day Canada. Her name is Anita Stewart. How can we, Anita, help our farmers, our restaurants, everybody in the business? What can we do to help?
Well, I think, again, being vocal is really important, and actually and walking the local talk. And for Food Day, of course, it's show the world what we have here, including, you know, again, the ingredients that are from your own area. I think of one of the places, and I'm assuming it's still going because it was an iconic place when I was there a few years ago, was the Galatly Nut Orchard. To be, things like that are so important. I mean, they embroider our foodways with such interest, and nobody else can claim them. I mean, it's a point of differentiation more than anything else. So we're really pretty lucky. And so if people are wanting to participate, just take an Instagram picture, a Facebook picture, a Twitter, whatever, hashtag Food Day Casual.
Is it time also, just a final thought, to look around and actually focus in on the food that you're putting your dollars on? If you can, if make it local as quickly as you can, and just sort of support those around you?
Yes, absolutely. There's a really, part of my website I'm proud of, and I renovate it every year, and it's now alive, is Shop Like a Canadian. And there's, I try to just put a massive patriotic-filled shopping list.
Yeah.
It's really fun. It's really fun. Everything from, you know, British Columbia salt and caviar to, you know, like you name it, basically. It's there. But it's what's here in season now. And that, to me, is the most important part. I have to backtrack a little bit. One of the things that I think is really going to be quite interesting is that up in Whitehorse, up north, it doesn't get dark. So the people at Fly Air North are parking one of their 737s on the runway.
Mm-hmm.
They're decorating it with red and white lights, LED lights, and they're going to have a display of Yukon food in front of it.
Ah, man.
Isn't that fun?
That's fantastic. Well, she is the founder of Food Day Canada. Her name is Anita Stewart. She is also the food laureate at Guelph University. and a good friend to all of us out there who love our food and wine and the people who create it for us, who grow it. Everybody in that chain, the foragers, everybody, if you can support them, do. August 1st, Canada Food Day. Congratulations, Anita.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Anita, let's just get through 2020, okay?
Oh, God, yeah. I know. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
No, take care of yourself. Thanks very much.
Thank you. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Right now, you can get a taste of Chenin heaven. Did you know that the Chenin Blanc vines at Road 13 on the Golden Mile are some of the oldest Chenin vines in North America? Do enjoy the fun of working your way through the 2016 Sparkling Chenin Blanc and the 2019 Chip Off the Old Block Chenin Blanc. Road13vineyards.com. Road 13, it's all about the dirt. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch, who are now officially open. They offer two new releases from Crown and Thieves, the Winemaker's Wench, which is a crisp, aromatic summer slugger, and also an unfiltered rosé titled Pinky Blinder. You can find these wines and The Hatch at Black Swift, 2345 Boucherie Road, Kelowna, and hatchwines.com. Tasting Room Radio, Terry David Mulligan. August 1st is Food Day Canada, as you well know. I hope you do. And there's not enough chefs in the world to talk to get the story right. But there's one guy, one chef I want to go back and talk to because he was my next-door neighbor. His name is Abul Adame. He is the chef at the kitchen at Da Silva Winery. Some of you know Da Silva as Misconduct. But just so you can set it in your mind, it's 375 Upper Bench Road. And I know for a fact that at least half of you are always driving somewhere else. You got to get downtown to that restaurant. You got to go outside over there. Don't drive by the kitchen without trying it at least once. Trust me on this. One of my favorite eating establishments anywhere on the planet, Abul Adame. How's that for an introduction?
That's very good. Very kind of you. Thank you. I'm going to have to correct you, though.
Why?
It's too busy. We're way too busy. If they don't stop right now, we'll be happy. It is extremely busy.
So wait a minute. I saw that thing on the website saying, we are absolutely smashed. Make a reservation. Okay, so what happened? Where did it change?
I don't know, man. This year is been, after the pandemic, we opened June 12th. For the first day instead of May 1st. June 12th, the very first day, my old staff and some of the new staff, we work 16 hours. My new staff was like, please tell me this is not going to happen every day. That I hope so, because the first day, and since day one, we have not stopped. Like, it's been crazy. My staff does not let me pick up the phone. Because when I pick up the phone, it's, we're full. So, yeah, they banned the phone. They hide it from me.
How are you doing for seating? What would you normally have there full?
Well, what I see full, like last year and years before, it meant we have a 40-seat restaurant.
Yeah.
So, in the old days, we used to have full restaurant once and couple extra two tables, and that's it. That's 60 people.
Yeah.
Right now, Saturdays, from 11 in the morning to 8 o'clock at night, we're doing 120 covers.
Hmm.
So we sold the restaurant three times.
Hmm.
So it's too much. It's way, way too much. I actually redo the menu yesterday. I shorted a little bit because I have no time to prep. It is overwhelmingly busy.
You use a phrase on your website that says, this is old school.
Exactly.
Right.
I'm trying to now describe the kitchen as the real definition of a hole in the wall.
I love that about the kitchen. Well, that was the first thing. The second thing was I knew your cooking and I wanted to follow where you were going. Third, what came out of your kitchen, that chef's surprise, whatever you're cooking, I'm totally giving myself to you and that food. Yeah.
It's exactly, yeah, until today. There is now we have a we had a trying to control it now, because now most people, that's what they want to do. But there's some days that I have the whole restaurant without just me sending food. So now we put up to 3-4 tables, because sometimes I get confused in my head. I have to, and the most important thing people don't understand, I'm not just send food. I have to go and have a feeling for the people.
Sure.
So I know I cannot cross boundaries or keep it safe, right? So like if you come and you sit down and I know you, I kind of know what can make you happy. Like with you, for example, I know from the get-go, I have to have some Mexican influence.
Yeah.
Because you love that. A little bit spice, maybe some beans there, some reflection of like street food you will like, because I know you will like that stuff. But everybody's different, so I have to have a feeling for the people. I have to talk to them. But right now, I have no time to go outside and talk to them. So I have to poke through the window and look and have a kind of a quick look. They look, okay. And we take an angle. Sometimes it's good, sometimes like not so good.
Some of us don't pass the audition. I like that. Okay.
That's right.
Abul Adame, the kitchen at Da Silva Winery. Abul Adame is the reason why you go there. This is Portuguese tapas with Mexican influence and spicing. It again is old school. And I love this quote from you. You may like, talking about your food, you may like it, you may not like it. Either way, I thank you, because I no longer cook to impress.
That's right. All the food, it is simple. It is no, the kitchen, it's a place where I have, like I said, my son is cooking. His friends are cooking. The oldest kid working is 17. And it's just a bunch of friends now and family that we put a long hours and follow my directions to do how I like to eat.
Yep.
And I put it on the plate and that's it. There's no tweezers, there's no brigade put in a plate. So it's a piece of protein or vegetables in your plate and that's it. Either you like it or you hate it. And that's it. It comes from the heart. It comes from the long hours of preparation before that. And like I said, right now, like we close at 8 o'clock. From 8 o'clock to 12, we prep for the next day.
Wow.
Yeah, because otherwise we'll have no time.
We're talking about the kitchen at Da Silva Winery on the Naramata Bench, 375 Upper Bench Road. Actually, the correct title is The Kitchen with Abul Adame at Da Silva. And it's, you want to get that right, because he's the reason you're there. I mean, plus the fact that the Misconduct and Da Silva make fine, fabulous wines. And it's a great hang. You're going because of the food that's coming out of that kitchen. August 1st is a Food Day in Canada. And they're encouraging chefs and those of us who are doing the eating to eat local. You're surrounded by farms. How much of what you're working with is local?
I have a couple of friends. My friend Steve from Kirimias, he drops back door and he just comes with whatever it is producing right now. Right now I have a lot of fresh varietal of cucumbers, all the late cherries, tons of sour plums right now. And they're going to start snow peas. So constantly daily. And that's part of the chef's choice. If you ask chef's choice, that's what you will get. All the stuff that is arriving, I just put it for people.
Abul Adame, the kitchen at Da Silva Winery. I just want to let people know when we're talking about tapas, think about this for a second. Serrano ham with honey. These may not be on the menu. Just let me give people an example. Serrano ham with honey glazed, honey chipotle mustard, grilled chorizo, chicken and pork liver pate. Hold on a second. Meatballs with chipotle ricotta. Hold on a second. Don't go away. A veal tongue, pickled pork feet, duck leg confit, chicken hearts. And one more thing. Pulled brisket. Hold on a second. Seafood. What did I see here in the seafood? Fried smelts, sea salt, and lemon. Hello. And then raja and cream under the vegetarian. What is that?
Yes, raja. That's my mom's dish. It's poblano peppers and cream. So you can put it on your bread.
Now, when I last saw you, your mom was doing all the mole sauces.
Yeah, she was that. And that recipe is hers. And then she asked me to put it, because she always asked me. I said, "Mama, it's very simple, but it's just hard to put it together and keep it to storage a long time." So I tried it this year. We practiced it, and then we were like this and Zoom, and then I saw her doing it, and I replicated, and it is, people love that.
Is she still with you?
Oh, right now she's back in Mexico. She couldn't come this year, but next year she will be here.
Abul Adame, the kitchen at Da Silva Winery. Abul Adame is the reason why you go there. Does Oaxaca play the chef? The idea of Mexican food in Oaxaca, I know, is true, is absolutely true. It seems to be the center of their cooking. Do you take any influence from Oaxaca?
Well, my mom's mom, that's where she's from. So my mom's all of his cooking, is based on it.
Yeah.
So it is very traditional and very all her moles that she knows how to do. And then like the brisket that you just said, the adobo, it's another Mexican dish made of a bunch of different dry peppers that for people that cannot comprehend that simple dish, it has so many ingredients to make that adobo.
Wow.
The word is so short, it doesn't mean nothing for people, but it's so hard intent, too much labor to do that little, just that dish.
What does Portuguese cooking and Mexican cooking have in common?
It is very, what the ingredients, it reads, it's exactly what it is. There's nothing hiding. Like potatoes and bacalao.
Sure.
Potato croquettes is just what it is. It's potatoes and bacalao. Like Mexican, I have the tongue. It's just braised tongue, tomatillo salsa. That's it. Two ingredients. It's very clean. There's not much. Lots of lemon, like the sardines in Portugal. Grilled lemon, squeeze of lemon. That's it. There's not much to touch to.
All right. Now, whose paella is this? Is this Portuguese? Is this Spanish? Or is Mexican? Made of 100% Spanish saffron rice, chorizo, mussels, clams, roasted chicken, and prawns.
I will never do a paella Spanish style because we will sit in there for days.
Okay.
My secret of this paella, all the ingredients are the way the Portuguese do it. I have a head start, the rice. Cook it days in advance. And then it's a 2 days process because cook the rice.
Yeah.
Once it's cooked, it has to cool off. It has to dry it again.
Yeah.
When I reheat it with all these proteins, it comes alive again. And then that's the only trick. I don't start the rice from scratch. That's my only secret.
Abul Adame, the kitchen at Da Silva Winery. Abul Adame is the reason why you go there. Every time I'm asked about Okanagan eating, the first words out of my mouth are the kitchen. And if you drive by it after talking to me, you're crazy.
Thank you. Yes, it is. It's busy now, thankfully. It is. People drive by. If you go to Naramata, you cannot escape us. We have just a little simple sandwich board. Like I said, it doesn't see, you don't see much, but when you get into the patio, it is a beautiful view too. It is gorgeous.
Fantastic. So what's the best way, chef, for someone to actually get in there, make a reservation and get in there? You want them to write or, you want them to phone?
Phone, yes, phone. It's, like I said, we have only 10 tables. Like this is long weekend. So this weekend already we're fully booked.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we have people right now that just is throwing reservations and sometimes they're not show. So we have a waiting list. And then the people that work with me, they're very nice people and they're on top of it. So if somebody doesn't show up, we give calls or somebody cancel, we call right away to fill up the spot.
All right. So what's the phone number, Mr. Chef?
It's 1-800-855-0903.
It's the kitchen.
That's the kitchen, extension 2. And if I pick up the phone, I might say we're full, but just give it another shot. If somebody else pick up the phone, we'll say yes.
All right, here's the deal. What is the best time of day to call?
Between 3 and 5.
Oh, in the Pacific, 3 and 5 in the afternoon. All right,
between 3 and 5, yeah. Before that, it's we're yammed, and after that, we're yammed again. So between 3 and 5, there is it's a quiet spot to call.
It's nice to talk to you again.
Thank you, Terry. It's very nice to talk to you and see you again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Abul Adame, the kitchen at Da Silva Winery. Abul Adame is the reason why you go there. This is Food Day Canada. I'm Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch, who are now officially open. They offer two new releases from Crown and Thieves, The Winemaker's Wench, which is a crisp, aromatic summer slugger, and also an unfiltered rosé titled Pinky Blinder. You can find these wines and The Hatch at Black Swift, 2345 Boucherie Road, Kelowna. and hatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. We're happy to tell you that the restaurant and tasting rooms are now open. The restaurant Thursday to Sunday, noon to 7 p.m. The tasting room and the wine shop Wednesday to Sunday, 11 to 5. And the tasting room is now offering sit-down flights featuring four wines. But you can count on the same warm hospitality and fun that Unsworth is known for. And a fresh reminder that the Cowichan Valley Wine Festival is on from August 1st to August 31st. For all the details, go to tastingroomradio.com and click on the Wine Festival ad. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. And if we're going to talk food, we have to finally get myself and Jen Schell together to talk about the BC Wine Lovers Cookbook, Recipes and Stories from Wineries Across British Columbia. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, Terry. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How's been the first 6 months for you?
It's been interesting. kind of an interesting time to launch a book, but it's been wonderful. I think people have been really, during the pandemic, going back to their kitchens and cooking and trying recipes. And so I feel like the timing actually was quite good.
Let's talk about a couple of things, Jennifer, just to set the scene here. How are the restaurants, the bistros, the caterers in the Okanagan, how are they handling this?
It's been so hard to watch them struggle with what to do during this crazy ride. But I feel like really they've been positive. They've been pivoting, trying new things, setting up the takeaways. And it's everyone, the industry still is bustling. I'm hoping that with the summer, there has been a lot more openings and everyone's being very careful. So we'll see what happens.
Actually, if you talk to chefs on any length, as we do here, what they all say, and what the winemakers say as well, is if you can grow your food, if your food can come from the same terroir, the same land as the wine, it is the greatest pairing in the world, no matter what. I'm sure you agree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People don't realize that vegetables actually have terroir as well, and they have very specific notes and flavors that come out from the diverse regions of the Okanagan. We have, you know, as you know, from desert to
high country,
northern high country. So there's just such diversity.
There's farming, there's fisheries. Well, actually, the book covers farming, fisheries, foraging. Love that. It covers chefs and families and farms from and farmers, frankly, from all over the world. That's the cool thing about the book is that, and you make the point of saying that it's not just you know, peanut butter sandwiches, friends. You know, there are Portuguese families, there are Indian families, indigenous families from all over Europe, from parts of the states, the southern states, and they bring their flavors with them. And it's reflected in the book. That's what I like.
Yeah, when I was designing a new concept for my next book, I was writing down wineries and my friends in the industry, and I took a look and I realized this incredible international community that we've formed and, you know, forms our own unique wine culture in BC. And the international flavors combined with the Okanagan flavors, it just really creates a unique new experience in the international wine world.
Jen Schell, the BC Wine Lovers Cookbook, Recipes and Stories from Wineries Across British Columbia. Maybe the first one I want to talk about is Cedar Creek. I'm so impressed with Cedar Creek and that restaurant, the home block.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. What a great restaurant. There's a commitment to a restaurant in a winery there I'm very impressed with. How do you like them?
Absolutely love it. It's beautiful. The food is amazing. You can just feel the passion in the menu.
In the book, Yida's Portuguese Chicken.
That's Taylor, the winemaker's recipe that he learned from his neighbor growing up. His best friend's mom used to make it. It's delicious.
And the pairing is a Sauv Blanc.
The neat part about this book as well is because the recipes are coming from the families, who better to pair a dish than the winemaker?
Right? Sure.
So you can seriously trust the pairings. They are perfect.
So Homblanc has got Spanish and Italian influences, which is fantastic. I would be very interested to try this Homblanc inspired recipe for Portuguese chicken with their Pinot Noir.
I think that would be perfect.
You can't go wrong.
I think you should do it.
Now, right next door is Martin's Lane, which is a fascinating story. And it's named after Anthony's father. And the actual vineyard itself is named after his mother. This is a very personal statement for him. And Shane Munn, what a great winemaker he is, and funny as hell.
He's great.
And so his wife, Kathleen, this is her recipe.
Yes.
What is it?
Dave and Bap, she spent some time living in Korea.
Yeah.
And so that became a family favorite. They have two adorable children. You can see in the photo, they're such a cool family. They're so creative. So that is a really delicious recipe, and I love the idea of it as well for something very unique as a spin on a wine country dish.
So what about the new power player in Okanagan wine circles, the Shell winery? You and your brothers.
Yes. We're doing well.
Tell me about your crab boil recipe.
Yes.
This is a family thing that you've done, obviously, before. What are the key things about a crab boil so you don't screw it up?
I purchased a huge pot, an Italian spaghetti pot with a built-in strainer.
I know that you would think, because you and I have crossed paths with Ned Bell and others like him, sustainability is important, so... we take care of our crab industry, all of our shellfish for that, and all the bottom fish. But when you get a chance to do it, even if it's only once a year, it's phenomenal. What are you going to pair with that crab?
The Shell Chardonnay, of course.
The Wren Chard, right?
The Wren Chardonnay is perfect with crab.
Is your winemaker Rob from Nagging Doubt?
He is.
Wonderful.
Yes, Rob Westbury.
Okay. That settles it.
Okay. He does a great job, and he loves Chardonnay, making Chardonnay, and you can tell.
I have a bottle of Nagging Doubt Chardonnay in the fridge as we speak. All right,
we need a bottle of Shell Chardonnay in your fridge. I need to get one and have it with crab.
Yeah, the book is called The BC Wine Lover's Cookbook, Recipes and Stories from Wineries Across British Columbia. She is Jennifer Shell. There's some people that sort of jump out at me because I like them, and I'm thrilled that you've included Sea Star, David Gouge, on Pender. And Salmon Wellington is the recipe. I love that. I love the fact that on Pender it's dry farmed, because those vines get all the moisture they need just from the air. And his Blanc de Noir, that rosé, is phenomenal.
Isn't it? It's one of my
just
favorites.
Doesn't make enough of it.
Mm-hmm. It's true. You've got to get in early and before he sells out. I love that winery. He is such a lovely man. And I was so happy to get to photograph him with his beloved dog who's passed on, Hudson. Mm. That dish is fantastic. It's super easy.
Salmon Wellington is easy?
It is. And I hadn't actually tried it until I recipe tested for the cookbook. And I've made it several times. It beautifully presents. It's actually great, even cold for a picnic. That's a real winner.
Not too far away, Unsworth in the Cowichan Valley. You've given the recipe for the seafood chowder, which makes perfect sense. And frankly, people who travel a long distance to get to Vancouver Island, they want seafood. They want chowder.
Yeah.
You know, just to get it off.
Yes, they do.
Just to get it done, you know, so they can move on to hamburgers or whatever. The pairing is the Allegro, which is that amazing combination of Petit Milo and Savignette that only Cowichan is really making a fuss about. This is a chowder that could be served in the summer, but it will get you through the winter.
Oh, absolutely. This is a beautiful chowder. You can make a big batch and actually freeze the base of it, bring it out, and then throw your fresh seafood in. So it's really handy that way. It's just a huge celebration of BC seafood and with lovely herbal notes. And it's they actually have it on the menu there.
The book is called The BC Wine Lover's Cookbook, Recipes and Stories from Wineries Across British Columbia. She is Jennifer Schell. All right, I'm going to mention a couple because we can't do them all, but I love the roast caribou recipe from Corselette's estate. Love that. Loved it. It's an Arctic dish, but it travels well, right?
Yes, and she, Jessie and Charlie are just adorable.
Yeah.
And her story, you know, she's from Nunavut, which is so cool, making igloos and dog sledding. And now she's in wine country and came out with her mom. They bought a vineyard and her mom is a well-recognized grape grower.
Hmm.
So that dish is really special. And
if you can't get
flavor.
Any, if you can't get your hands on any caribou, a deer, moose, elk would be fine. Roast.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Beef roast would be fine.
Yep. Absolutely.
Moon Cursor. I love Chris and Beta. Totally. I love the fact that they make one of everything. They have a wide portfolio. Tell me about this plum clafoutie. And first of all, what is a damn clafoutie? Okay.
It's a cake, but it's sort of pancakey and it's just super easy. They're a very busy couple and they've got kids and it's just sort of one of those throw together desserts that's great and great at any time of the day, good for snack or in the morning, and can uses Okanagan fruit. And they have a wonderful wood fire oven that I photographed that dish in the oven.
I know.
On Monty, Chris's dad lives on the vineyard with the most extraordinary view of Osoyoos, and there's a wood fire oven. They have gatherings there and have pizza with the workers, and then you know, this dessert can get thrown in there after and really quickly.
Slightly chilled dolcetto.
Mm-hmm.
Which won a platinum award, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Their wine list is so exciting, and everything they make is phenomenal. That's why they keep winning awards.
Jennifer Schell and her book, The BC Wine Lover's Cookbook. It's a great read, friends. It's like a thriller. Let's head north to Bella, Jay Drysdale, Wendy Rose. They're doing a stinging nettle pasta. Again, if you can't find a caribou, stinging nettle.
This is, again, simple. The stinging nettle makes it sound complicated, but you can usually buy it when it's in season at a farmer's market. Ask your local or your foraging friend.
Okay.
It grows everywhere in the Okanagan, I guess. You don't have to make stinging nettle pasta. You can use any pasta for this recipe, but it just makes it much more exciting.
But what else could you put in there? What would you substitute?
Just use regular pasta.
And what does stinging nettle taste like? I mean, what does it bring to the pasta?
It sort of has a sort of spinach flavoring.
Okay.
Just adds that extra little nuance.
And of course, the cool thing about Bella is they have an astonishing range of incredible wines, Method Ancestral Rosé. But this one, I mean, I just did a Bella special, so I know for a fact that we're getting down now to specific rows of specific grapes in specific vineyards.
Yeah.
And this is the Mariani Vineyard, and it's a pet nat. Jennifer Schell, taking us through the Okanagan and actually British Columbia. All right, couple more, and we go. Little Farm Winery, Alishan.
Yes.
And it's an excuse to drink their Riesling, of course. But she did a potato. What is that dish that you, it's an assortment? It's a small smorgasbord.
Yes, it's a choucroute. And it's really one of my favorite celebration dishes as well. Of course, I'm German history, but choucroute is an Alsatian dish and it is sausages and sauerkraut, and it's just all served on a big platter with wonderful mustards, and it's the perfect harvest celebration dish. And Ali Shan is an amazing cook and baker and everything. She's just a Wonder Woman. I'm such a fan.
This is an amazing book. What's your website?
JenniferShell.com.
Okay, should we send them to Facebook? What's your Facebook?
Yeah, it's JenniferShell8, the number 8.
Thank you for this. Thank you for the book.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful talking with you, as usual.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. We're happy to tell you that the restaurant and tasting rooms are now open. The restaurant, Thursday to Sunday, noon to 7 p.m. The tasting room and the wine shop, Wednesday to Sunday, 11 to 5. And the tasting room is now offering sit-down flights featuring 4 wines. But you can count on the same warm hospitality and fun that Unsworth is known for. And a fresh reminder that the Cowichan Valley Wine Festival is on from August 1st to August 31st. For all the details, go to tastingroomradio.com and click on the Wine Festival ad. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends in the Similkameen Valley, Orofino Vineyards, and Row 14 at Clippers Organic Acres. Okay, first things first, remember Clippers is with a K. Shop online with them. Just go to shopclippers.ca. And from John and Virginia Weber at Orofino, take a moment to check out the brand new Orofino website, orofinovineyards.com. The very popular guest suites at Orofino still have openings in the fall. Here's the latest news from Orofino. This is such great news. They are open for tastings. And Row 14 at Clippers is back. They're open Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. You want to write them, info@row14.ca. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is our Food Day in Canada food special on Tasting Room Radio. I have Ned Bell, great friend, on the Zoom phone and on the actual phone. And we're talking back and forth. You can see this, by the way, if you go to mulliganstew.ca tasting room, you can see this Zoom interview as well. Because let's face it, he's a good looking guy.
Living in a whole new world, Terry, as you know all too well. And, we're living to very high standards of health and safety at the Naramata Inn. And, you know, I'm so excited. I'm back home. Are you kidding me? This is the best thing ever.
And actually, I've said this, and I'm not slapping myself on the back. I'm just saying the journey for you, in part, started on our veranda on the Naramata bench, because that's where you met Kate.
TDM, you get full credit.
Full credit.
Change it. Actually, I should give full credit to Meg.
But yeah, that's
you
true.
Get full credit for introducing me to my wife Kate, and it all started on the back porch at that phenomenal Red Barn property right on the bench here in Naramata.
You have a much larger story to tell. Kate's battle with cancer. How is everybody now?
Yeah, thanks, Terry, for asking. Kate's had a two-year journey with breast cancer. She actually had her most recent surgery just this past Friday down on the coast. Mm. And so she's still down in Vancouver for the next 10 days. BC Cancer Agency, her surgeons, her support network, her team Kate, hashtag team Kate, has been extraordinary. And you know what? I'll tell you, women are unbelievable creatures, and my wife is no different. The battle, the fight, and now in the recovery and rehab stage of this journey is pretty spectacular to witness, and certainly support to the best of our ability. My sons, my 3 boys, and I, and her incredible family. But truthfully, Terry, we are an incredibly fortunate family. We're through the biggest scare, and now we're just on to the keeping everything else away. We focused entirely on Kate's journey, and during the entire time the project was ticking along, and we finally acquired it on the 21st of February, it being the Naramata Heritage Inn and Spa, and we then quickly went through a fairly significant renovation. You throw in a little pandemic into the middle of all of that, and we reopened in early June as the Naramata Inn, and we feel very lucky. You gotta jump out of the airplane and hope the parachute opens. And my family has been very fortunate, and the parachute opened.
I actually, you beat me to the question, because I was going to say which came first, the inn or the need to get out of Vancouver and reinvent yourself.
the bench, as you know, and the whole region is pretty special, but the village of Naramata specifically is this little magical hamlet that just is, it's like built for children.
Here's the deal. I want part of Naramata Village to grow up, but I don't want it to grow up so that it lessens the wonderful destination that it is. Some of the buildings have been shuttered. The stores there, they got that great cheese section, they got the cold wines, but I would love to see some other shops. It's all just small places.
Yeah, I agree. Well, as you know, the Naramata Wine Vault maybe was one of the first catalysts of that reinvention.
Sure.
Now with our project here at the Naramata Inn, and what I really hope over the next number of years is that we'll have a collection of complementary businesses here in the village that will bring more people here. You know, the grocery store is great, but it could be better. The coffee shops are great, but you know what? We need a little bit more of everything here, including another restaurant or two, and we need, truthfully, some businesses that are open, you know, if not year round, close to it.
And
consistently open, that would help. And you know, we're going to stay open until the end of December and then close January, February, reopen in March. And you know, this is really our learn to run year. And I'll be honest, Terry, we've done 100 covers every night since we opened. It's been actually kind of extraordinary.
Is that a 50%?
I would say it's about 70%. Okay. And only because we have two large verandas that we're able to see people on. So the dining room is 50%, but the verandas give us a bit more space.
That's fantastic. Bless that veranda.
Right? It's such the Naramata Heritage Inn is, an unbelievable building.
Ned Bell, Naramata Inn. We stayed there when we were shooting Hollywood and Vines with, what was the young man I was with? Oh, Jason Priestley. And we still talk about it. The restaurant has had times when it's been glorious and other times when it's been less than that. But you were going to bring your own sense to it. You were going to bring your own style and design. How did it finally shape for you what you wanted that room to be?
It's funny. I've been cooking for 30 years and I got bored of my food. And, you know, a number of years ago, it's like Billy Joel having to sing Piano Man over and over and over. You know, you just get tired of Piano Man. And I got tired of my signature dishes. I got tired of my own food. I felt like I lost the creative juice that I needed to really be at the top of my game. And, you know, I got lazy, truthfully. And, you know, when we decided to come to the Okanagan, I promised myself a number of things creatively. I said, I will not cook my signature dishes anymore. And I will only cook food and only allow ingredients to be on the menu that are from here. Okay. So we are 100% locally sourced. I have eyes on every single ingredient, and that's pretty spectacular. And it's realistically, it's a chef's dream. I know that, but the food really is a celebration of Naramata with French technique. I call it French Naramation. It really is, you know, Naramata first, the South Okanagan, followed by, you know, the greater Okanagan, Thompson region, of course, into Costin and all the wonderful places south of us. And then I give myself a little bit of license to bring seafood up from the coast.
Sure.
But other than that, we have nothing else on the menu that comes from elsewhere. And that includes lemons. I don't allow lemons in my kitchen. We only use verjus that we made ourselves. We just are totally committed to this taste of place. This, you know, what I tell my guests is you can only have this dinner here. And that is a pretty powerful statement. And, you know, one that I think will allow me to have such a unique taste of place. And, you know, the menu will change constantly. We've only been open for 3 weeks and I'll be going through my third menu change next week. So, you know, we're changing every day. Something changes.
Are you changing? Are you changing or are you getting feedback from the tables?
I mean, it's really we're being guided by the farmers. We, you know, what the farmers let us know on Monday, what they're pulling that week. We then tweak the menu to that.
Yep.
And, you know, it takes a lot of work. It's obviously a big creative push on my team. But, you know, we frame it so that, you know, we know we're going to have a beef on the menu, a fish on the menu, a duck on the menu, you know, et cetera. And then the garnish is really what changes constantly. And the guests have just absolutely been over the moon excited about how tasty the food is. And that's really all done in the field. And it's no different than grapes that go into the wine that make the incredible juice that's in the bottle. You know, like for me, if the farmer does his or her job or the fisher harvests the fish well, we're lucky because it makes our life a little easier.
And as you schooled me years ago, there's no greater pairing than wines and food grown in the same soil, the same terroir.
Funny, you know, yesterday I was at Rob Van Westen's farm up on Booth Road, and we were harvesting Lapin cherries, yep. And he gave me a bottle of Vulture, and I came back to the kitchen and I made this incredible Naramata honey, Lapin cherry, Vulture wine sort of glaze that we served with our duck breast last night. I'm telling you, Terry, I don't know that I've ever tasted anything that's more delicious and more of the moment and also of the place. You know, like that is Naramatian cuisine, and it's just based in sort of French technique. And hey, I mean, throw in a chef that was born 20 minutes from here. It's pretty cool.
Okay, here's the deal. So if that's as good as you say, and I don't doubt you, will that become a signature dish, or are there no more signature dishes?
Oh, no, I'm looking forward to building new signature dishes. Okay. I just, you know, I used to call my food globally inspired and locally created. And so that was Asian, South Asian. Yeah. You know, my signature dish at the Four Seasons was a Dungeness crab taco with a maple miso, you know, soy lime glaze, and it was delicious, don't get me wrong, but it just doesn't have a place in Naramata. It has no relevance to Naramata. I want the food of this incredible place to be the star. I want the farmers to be the star. I want the terroir to be the star. And you know what, Terry, honestly, I have never been so excited to cook again, because it's just so goddamn delicious up here.
All right. For those out there who are drooling, and I'm not talking about it, give us a couple of highlights from the menu that people seem to really gravitate.
Yeah, well, as you know, I love sustainable seafood, and that's been my life for a long time. So I still bring up some incredible seafood from the West Coast. We have scallops from Great Bear, and so we're pairing Great Bear scallops with orchard fruit. We have, you know, some incredible farmers up here, Jordan Unearthed and Jerome at Medley Organics. And so we're pulling in all the delicious things from them. Our duck dish is really a celebration of beets, it's, you know, a cherry gastrique with a beet puree and roasted beets a dry aged duck breast that's unreal. We have a halibut dish that's a celebration of turnips from Unearthed Farms that has savory clams, Salt Spring Island mussels, and wild Pacific halibut, served with this Chardonnay broth that's finished with cultured butter that is like quickly becoming a new signature of ours. And I mean, you know, the thing is, Terry, like I lived in Vancouver for a long time. I've cooked all over the world and all over this country. This place, Naramata and the Okanagan, as you know all too well, and, you know, we're so lucky in BC to have so many extraordinary food communities. Yep. And, you know, specifically, of course, Canada as a whole. Sure. But, you know, whether it's Cowichan, whether it's Tomox, whether it's the Fraser Valley, Chilliwack, Agassiz, the Okanagan, I mean, God damn it, this province is delicious. And, you know, for me as a chef, signature dishes are just born of the moment. And they change weekly because we're, you know, tweaking our menu all the time.
Arctic char. Did you bring your Arctic char with you?
I did. So that char is raised in the middle of an apple orchard on Road 17 down in Oliver.
I saw that. Yeah.
You know whose farm that used to be? That used to be the De Silva farm years ago. And so the De Silva sister, a doctor down in Oliver, she grows all kinds of delicious things. And so once they harvest this year, we're going to pair the fish with the things that are grown in that orchard.
And it's fantastic.
What a taste of place that is, you know?
So you needed a wine director and a sommelier, and Emily Walker was your friend working with you at the Four Seasons. Did you have to convince her to come or what?
I think that she was the second phone call I made after we acquired the inn. I said, hey, Em, guess what? We're working together again. We're getting the band back together. She said yes immediately, and we now have one of the best wine programs that I've ever seen. She gets to celebrate this place. We also have an international list. We have a great cocktail program, great beers. Like, we're doing it up, Terry. We want to be one of the best restaurants in the country, and by having a delicious wine program that Emily has created with our spectacular food from here in the region, we're getting off to a nice start.
It's a great list. It truly is. It's a wonderful list. A little bit from everybody, not just the bench, right? And yeah. I'm sure the international is going to be just as stunning. It's fantastic. And actually, frankly, the people who can come, stay there, enjoy your culinary talents, go back to their rooms, go down the trail, go biking, go swim, whatever, they'll never forget it.
Yeah, I agree. It's an incredible place. We feel very fortunate. There's so much to do here. It's so tasty. It's so delicious. We have an incredible team. And the people that are visiting Naramata, already Naramata is a world-class destination. There's a piece of heaven here. There's a piece of magic here that just exists in this little village. And we feel really lucky to have a restaurant right smack dab in the middle of it all.
And you've come full circle.
Yeah, I was literally born 20 minutes from here. This is home for me. You know, I tried this, 12 years ago at Cabana in Kelowna. Mm-hmm. And, different life, different time. The only difference now is that I have my incredible wife by my side. Maybe that's a lesson in and of itself. She never wanted to be in the restaurant business. And after her cancer journey, she said, you know what, let's go back to the Okanagan and swing for the fences. And that's what we've done.
Okay. Ned Bell, Naramata Inn. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends in the Similkameen Valley, Orofino Vineyards, and Row 14 at Clippers Organic Acres. Okay, first things first, remember Clippers is with a K. Shop online with them. Just go to shopclippers.ca. And from John and Virginia Weber at Orofino, take a moment to check out the brand new Orofino website, orofinovineyards.com. The very popular guest suites at Orofino still have openings in the fall. Here's the latest news from Orofino. This is such great news. They are open for tastings. And Row 14 at Clippers is back. They're open Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. You want to write them, info@row14.ca.